What's the deal? I mean, the mic was, you can hear that. There's nothing on the soundboard. Well, maybe the, I don't know. Coming out the speakers, though. I can hear that. That's happening. All right. Well, we're not in Jeremiah, so that's not happening tonight. We're in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and we are talking about anger management. There you go. That's the I'm calling you out. I'm pointing. This pulpit's just different. We just point at people and just like tell people. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 21. So this is Christian stuff here. It's not just Israelite stuff. This is Christian stuff. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Jesus says this: "You've heard that it was said by them of old time that thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt be by no means come out of thence till thou hast paid the other uttermost farthing." So this is anger management. This is controlling your emotions and really controlling your spirit. And when Jesus Christ begins preaching, that was one of the main things that you see right off the bat, that he is going more in depth than the law went. The law could identify bad behavior. It could identify, you know, if you thou shalt not kill. Okay, well, if talking about murder, really, but the law could measure behavior. But Jesus Christ is a quickening spirit. That's what Paul said. He's a quickening spirit. And that doesn't mean he's not a man. It just means that's what he's a quickening spirit. And his doctrine goes beyond what the law said. It was where the law could identify behaviors, Jesus Christ would identify matters of the heart. And his concern is God's concern, and that is the heart matter. And so that said, let's pray. And we're going to go through this. And it's not just about being hot-headed. That's not just what this is. Because this anger shows up in a lot of different forms. And it has social consequences, as you'll see. It may have legal consequences, as you'll see. And it may have soul consequences, eternal consequences, as you'll see. So let's pray. And we're talking about an angry spirit and just anger management, controlling that. But let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us. This teaching that Jesus Christ teaches. This is part of the doctrine. This is part of what he's telling people who follow him to follow. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us go through this. It really does apply to a lot of things in life and our behavior toward other people and our thoughts toward other people. And so I pray that you would help us through this, help us make the applications and shine light in our hearts where it needs to be shown, and identify the areas that are iniquitous and sinful and all that. And so I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so everyone here, I'm sure, is familiar with, you know, your temper getting out of control. and you do something you regret. And I don't know, maybe we've all done it, probably. This particular, what Jesus Christ is talking about, can apply to that, and it also applies to more subtle ways that anger shows up in your life. And we'll just start this thing off with the way the Lord starts it off. He said, "You heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill." All right, that's part of the law. "And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." Right, so if there was if you were a murderer in the Old Testament, and there's no justifiable reason for this, there's no cause, and you're proven to be a murderer, then the judgment is capital punishment. So murderers get capital punishment. That's what the law said. It identified behavior, and that's what it did. It identified behavior. But the Bible says the Lord's behavior can sometimes betray what's actually there. People can cover what's in their heart with their behavior. So the law could identify some things, but it couldn't identify the area that God was most concerned about, which is the heart. And so, like Proverbs says, the Lord weighs the spirit. That's what he does. He's able to put the spirit in a set of scales and see what it is. And most people can say, "I've never killed anyone." So it's not, you know, that's not necessarily a big deal. And some people might even say, you read this and say, well, you know, this is, we're under grace and all that kind of stuff. This is when Jesus Christ begins teaching, he goes further than what the law said. In fact, the requirements that he sets on people are more strenuous than the law. The law you could keep. I mean, honestly, if you've ever read it, you read through the law. It's a lot of it's kind of common knowledge and common sense, and you know, offerings and stuff like that, and tithes and stuff like that, but to be able to keep the law as far as, you know, just the behavioral part of it, bring your offering here at this time of year and celebrate this holiday and things like that, those things were not really that difficult to do. But when Jesus Christ shows up and preaches and brings this doctrine that the people would say he speaks as one that has authority, the things he says are we never thought about it that way. And so he deals with the spirit, and he kind of tightens it up. It's not just don't kill. It's we're going to deal with what's in your heart if you hate your brother without a cause. Well, that's a lot more people do that than actually kill people. And so the Lord is a quickening spirit who doesn't necessarily identify the behavior. He identifies the heart problem that creates the behavior. Just a note in Thessalonians, Paul said it this way: "Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, a cleaning up of the Spirit." That's what God is after, cleaning up of the spirit through sanctification of the spirit and belief of the truth. So being righteous is much harder than looking righteous. All right, so this is what Jesus Christ is dealing with. So here's, I think we understand that. So he gives the law and he says, you've heard it said of old, you shouldn't kill. All right, and if you kill, you're in danger of judgment. Got it. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. So the Lord, he steps it up a notch. It's not just don't kill, it's angry with your brother without a cause. And he's describing righteousness that starts in the heart. And he's talking about the sanctification of the spirit. An unclean, angry spirit inside of a person will get them into trouble. It might get you into trouble legally. It might get you into trouble socially. It might get you into trouble with God eternally. So this is where the Lord's going with this. And so if you allow this unclean, angry spirit to fester and grow, and you mull on this thing, you think about this thing, and let me give you a couple of examples. So it's not just, like I said, hot-headedness. You know, you just blow up, you're just mad, and you just blow up at somebody. Sometimes this anger shows up when somebody is happy and you don't think they should be happy. You know what that is? You're angry without a cause. You don't have any reason to think that. In fact, maybe you ought to be happy with them. This was one of the things that prodigal son parable talks about. You know, the son is, the older son, he's mad because the other son comes back and, you know, why aren't you celebrating me and that kind of thing. And he doesn't understand it from the dad's perspective. But the point going back to this, maybe it's somebody that's happy that you don't think deserves to be happy. And you know what starts happening in you is you start getting mad. And you get mad at that person. And you start to create reasons and justifications for why your anger is justified at them. Look at, and you start thinking, well, they've done this and they've done that, and they got a bad personality or whatever it is. And so this anger, like I said, is not just hot-headedness. It can start kind of in secret places, which really it does. Maybe the Lord blesses some person that you don't think deserves a blessing. This was the deal with Job and the devil and God. Granted, the Lord brings up Job, but one of the things God said is, you move me to destroy Job's life without a cause. There's no reason I should destroy his life. I don't have any reason to do this. And so that's a kind of satanic thing there, without a cause. Solomon said, don't strive with a man without cause. If he hasn't harmed you in any way, don't strive with him. But this is where this goes. It's like I'm mad that he's being blessed. I'm mad that he has something I don't have. I'm mad that she has something I don't have. And it makes me mad at him. And so what do I do? Well, I can either blow up at him or I can start destroying their life secretly. And I can start spreading things around about them and make sure I destroy their life secretly. At least destroy their life in your mind or someone else's mind. So what is this? This is anger without a cause. And it's destructive. And the cost of it, Jesus says, it's too high. You're not going to be able to pay this price. Maybe someone has children and you don't. That'll make people mad. We just had Mother's Day, and Mother's Day is a good day for some people, and it's a terrible day for other people. Maybe it's what happens is that anger and resentment builds up in there. You just think about how bad you have it and how great they have it, and it just starts to build up. Maybe someone has better children than you have. And you resent that. And you don't think they deserve that. They don't deserve these children that they have. Maybe you think they do deserve in some cases. But you get the idea. For a pastor, and I say this stuff from experience. I think these things sometimes. I got to catch these thoughts. But for a pastor, someone who has maybe a better ministry than what you have, and what do you do? You start, man. I know what they're doing. You know what that is? That's this. The spirit is wrong now. It's messed up. The spirit's messed up. And what Jesus would say is, you have anger without a cause. You don't have any reason to be mad at this person. You're envious of this person. You want what they have. You wish you were them. And it's starting to eat you up. Maybe it's, as a pastor, you envy other pastors. Maybe it's someone that's better looking than you. And you hate them for it. You know why? Because you wish you were them. That's anger without a cause. And all of these things lead to a destructive series of events where if I react to this unclean, angry spirit, and then I start to behave with that as my guide, with this spirit is my guide. Well, now I'm going to destroy this person's life as best I can, and at least in the minds of people I know. I'm going to tear them down. I'm going to gossip about them. I'm going to ruin their life, at least in as many people's minds as I can. And this is the angriness without a cause. There's no reason for this. Maybe if someone has more money than you, and you wish you were them, but you're mad at them. You don't think they deserve it. All of these things describe an emotion, describing a spirit that has potential to become a behavior problem. And if this spirit is acted on and followed, remember, you follow Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ leads you into righteousness and goodness and love. But if you follow these other unclean spirits, they lead you down a dark path. And Jesus is going to say, look, there's going to be a cost to this if you follow this thing. There's going to be a cost, and you're not going to want to pay that cost. There's another proverb. It says, he that hath no rule over his spirit is like a city with walls broken down. Means the enemy comes and goes as he wants to. You have no defense of this. Paul would say, be angry and sin not. Anger is not a sin. None of the emotional thing, none of the emotions are sins. But any emotion put in a wrong place or applied without truth, that becomes a problem. That's a sin. That becomes a behavioral problem. We're talking about anger. If the emotion's not met with truth, then here's what happens. Here's what happens with people, with us. You're mad at this person because they got X and you don't have it. They look this way and you don't look that way. They have this thing and you don't have it. And you're mad at them. And if you don't control that, that emotion becomes an idol. And now you start to nurse it, and you think about it often, and you even make sacrifices to this thing. You will put people's lives on the. I mean, you will offer to this idol other people's lives. You will destroy people's lives, and you will make offerings to this idol. You justify revenge. There's malicious thoughts going on, and you forget what James said. James says, look, the wrath of man doesn't work the righteousness of God. Your unjustified anger doesn't resolve this. It makes it worse. Your unjustified anger without a cause is not the righteousness of God as much as you think it is, which was what we end up doing. We want to justify it and always wrap it in something spiritual. We're good at doing stuff like that. Proverbs says, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly." Got to get control of it. And if you don't, Jesus says, there's going to be a cost to this. There's going to be a cost to this. So let's just say you didn't get control of it now. And now this emotion has now become a behavior. And now as much as you have opportunity, you verbally gossip and you destroy this person's life in secret. You tear them down. You just throw little hints out there about, you know, their wickedness, at least your perceived idea of their wickedness. And so now this thing has become a behavior. Maybe it's the wife who's in other people's business gossiping to her husband, her hot-headed husband, all the way she's been hurt. I'm legitimate, but you know how people can manipulate particularly people who they're close to. Maybe it's a child. Y'all have always experienced this. A child who lies about someone else so they don't get in trouble. What do? You destroy someone else. You make them the target. Why? To cover for your own sin. I told you, preacher who's envious, we covered that one. Solomon said, an angry man stirs up strife. That's what he does. He just starts stirring it up. Why? Because he's mad. It may not just come out in an episode, just flash of anger. It comes out as stirring up some strife. I'm just going to start mixing this thing up a little bit. And I'm going to make sure he's caught in the mess of this. So what's the cost? So here's what Jesus says. Look, if you don't get a hold of this, if you don't deal with this, if you don't use the Word of God to make this spirit subject to the truth, this is the ramifications of it. Skip down to verses 25 and 26 where he says, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with them, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. There's a cost. There's going to be a cost to it now. And he gives three areas of cost. The first one, he says, verse 22, I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. There might be a legal cost to this. If you defame somebody, if it got that far, and you defame somebody, and you've spread rumors and lies about this person, they're court cases with defamation as the center point. That's the judgment. If you destroy someone's life because you're mad at them for no reason, there may be a legal cost to that. If you can't get control of that anger, to be in danger of the judgment, it's a legal thing. This is not the great white throne judgment here. This is a legal matter. At this point, it's just a legal matter, which is still something. When he says it at the end, thou shalt by no means come out till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing, that means you're going to pay for this. There'll be a bond set. There'll be, it's going to cost you this. There's a legal consequence for destroying someone with your mouth because you wish you were them or because you hate them. There can be a legal consequence to it. Second thing is not legal. The second thing is social or a religious setting. Anytime the Bible uses the word counsel, really in the New Testament, I would say There's only one time it's really not used this way, but counsel 99% of the time, 90% of the time, is dealing with a religious group of people who are trying to identify a behavior that they don't like. They're trying to figure out, do we excommunicate this person or what do we do with this person? So the second thing is, he says, and whosoever shall say to his brother Rekha shall be in danger of the council. All right, so now it's not judgment. That was legal. Now it's social. Now it's even more than that, it's religious. And the council, like I said, is almost every time a description of religious leadership. Rekha is a specific, it's an accusation with contempt. Remember, the accuser has no grounds for what they're saying. But this anger without a cause has so festered in your life. Now you probably believe the things that you've told yourself about this person, and now you bring a formal accusation against them. And now people have to deal with this. The religious group, the council has to deal with this and figure out, what do we do with this? But remember, the accuser, it has no grounds for what he's saying, other than they just hate the person they're accusing. And they hate them so much, they're mad, they're bitter, they're envious, all of that. And when the truth comes out that your accusation turned out to be just a product of hatred, socially, you know, here's a couple of places this shows up. Socially, I would say most sane people don't want to be around people who destroy people's lives with their mouth. I went over to the school the other day, and I was talking to Mary Beth. She was in her office, and this lady comes out. And that's all I'll say as far as identity. This lady comes out, and within 5 minutes of talking to this lady, I just met her. I don't know who she is. I just met her. In 5 minutes, she had told names, people that are terrible people, and my thought was, right off the bat, was, this lady is wicked. Like, you don't even know who I am, and you have already tried to destroy people's lives within 5 minutes. You don't even know who I am. I just met you, and our first conversation is how terrible these people are. That's wicked. That's bad. My first thought is, they're wicked and dangerous. Like, I don't want to be anywhere near you. If you'll do this to people and talk to people you don't even know about, I mean, you would destroy my life if we ever knew each other. So this is the idea. It's Solomon says it's better. Here's the social consequence. It's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. It has social ramifications and church ramifications. Whosoever shall say Rekha be in danger of the council. Social, I would say there's other things about being a hothead, and you know, people don't like being around hotheads either. And a lot of times hotheads use that to their advantage to bully folks, but this is not necessarily that yet. So the second ramification, the second judgment is social or religious cost. Now we have to figure out, you've brought this accusation and you formalize this accusation against this person. And we got to figure out whether we want to keep you around or not, now that we know the accusation is just garbage. And then finally, is the stakes can be not just legal, not just social or a religious setting. Remember, this thing is turned into an idol now. And it's idols that keep people away from God. So the Lord says, but whosoever shall say, verse 22, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Now the stakes are a soul. And accusing an innocent person, this is exactly what the Pharisees did with Jesus Christ. They accuse, and you know, anybody remember why they're accusing Jesus Christ? Pilate spotted it. He said, for envy. Like, you know this man is a good man. And that's why you hate him so much. And for envy, they delivered him and said, Pilate knew that. And so they are the embodiment of this. Accuse an innocent person, as the Pharisees did with Jesus Christ, saying he's full of the devil, he's mad, he's a lunatic. And they felt perfectly justified in doing it. Perfectly justified in accusing an innocent person. And this thing has potential to be the snare that keeps you from eternal life. And here's the thing with that. If you are so dead set in your self-righteousness and your self-justification of the sin that's in your heart, that very thing keeps you from confessing, from opening up and letting God deal with the sin in your heart. It's the self-righteousness. That's the thing. So now the stakes are the soil. Proverbs said it this way. Solomon had a lot of these good ones about this. He says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to your soul. Now I'm learning how to destroy people's lives. I'm learning how this works. And that thing, if it's never dealt with, if you harbor that, if you feed that idol, that is the thing. That's what the Lord said. Behold, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. You can't get to me, and I can't get to you because of your sin. You have to deal with sin. If you're going to have eternal life, you have to deal with sin. And people who are self-righteous don't deal with sin. That's the problem. That's the problem here. Be in danger of hell fire. And then he deals with some solutions here. Therefore, verse 23, thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. Leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Look, just understand, yeah, not every situation gets reconciled. I think we all understand that. But the point is, if there's something you need to do to reconcile it, then you need to do that thing to reconcile it. Before you start making all these offerings to God about how, you know, I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to give you this. You know what? You remember what the Lord said to Saul? The offerings and the sacrifices, I would not, but obedience. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the spirit to be right. And if you try to buy me off with offerings and sacrifices, I'm not interested. In fact, you go to Isaiah and the Lord says, I'm tired of your offerings. I'm tired of your feast days. I'm tired of your celebrations. I'm tired of your holidays. Why? Because your spirit is wrong. Your heart is messed up. Get the heart right. Fix the heart. Verse 25, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him. This is, you know what this is? This is, okay, you messed up. You brought this accusation and you know it's false. You better go make sure you get it right with him and withdraw this accusation before he gets you arrested, before he puts you in jail. Agree with thine adversary. The adversary is not this, we read adversary and we think the devil or bad guy. It's not the devil or a bad guy. It's a bad guy to you because you have an angry spirit. It's your adversary. It's not the adversary, the devil. It's your adversary because you're mad at him without a cause. Agree with thine adversary, your adversary, quickly. Why? Because you brought this up. You're mad at him. You're bitter against him. You're envious of him. And you need to get that right. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him. Before you get thrown in jail, you better get it right. Lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge. That's what he's going to do. He ain't going to take this slander stuff. Lest he deliver thee to the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. And the Lord says, and the price you pay for that is perfectly justified. You brought this up. You did this. You're bringing this on yourself. Why you brought up this slander, and he says, verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. And the Lord says, and I'm not defending you. You pay the price. You brought this up. You weren't willing to get it right. You carried this on longer than it should have gone. You had opportunity to fix it. You had opportunity to correct your heart. You had opportunity to correct your spirit. And now it's to this point. And at this point, I am not bailing you out of jail. I'm not rescuing you from this. This spirit is going to run its course, and it may cost you everything you have. Angry with your adversary, I'll wrap this up real quick here. This whole, when we say trust Jesus Christ, that is not a, it's not a figurative thing. It's not just an amorphous or thing. It's not just a, you know, in the ether thing. We just trust Jesus Christ. That phrase needs some nuts and bolts to it. How are you going to trust Jesus Christ? Well, in this case, you're going to trust Jesus Christ by getting control of your heart. That's trusting Jesus Christ. We like to use it for, well, I'm just going to trust Jesus. Well, did you trust Jesus? My question is, for what? What are you trusting him for? In this case, here's an instance, and he gives several more all through Matthew 5, 6, and 7 about how to trust him. Because these are matters of trust. These are matters of Jesus Christ is laying out, this is my doctrine. This is what followers of me look like. This is how they behave. This is how they control their heart. This is how they control their spirit. Trusting Jesus Christ doesn't mean trusting that he's the Son of God. That's part of it. It means trusting what he said. It means trusting his doctrine. What he taught, specifically here tonight, teaching about controlling your anger. And not just the, like I said, the outburst, but controlling the secret bitterness and the gossip and the wanting to destroy someone's life because you hate them because they got something you don't have. Control your hostility towards people who haven't done you any wrong. This is why at the end of this, the people listen to Jesus talking and they say, man, he speaks as one that has authority. He sounds like he really knows us. He knows what's in our hearts. And the reality is he does know what's in your heart. And he's trying to dig around and get to that. Because that's the weighing of the trying of the spirits. He weighs the spirit out. This is how he does it. And so, an angry spirit, an anger management. This is the doctrine of that. It is control that, because it shows up in a lot of different ways, more than just a blow up or a hothead thing. People destroy people's lives with their mouths all the time when they hate them without a cause. That's not good. That's not good. You want to follow Jesus? Follow him this way. This is something to follow him in. Well, I already believe he's the Savior. Okay.
Well, we're not talking about that. We're talking about your angry spirit. We're talking about your bitterness. We're talking about your envy. Get control of that. Follow Jesus in that. And that's tough stuff, but it's needed. It's needed. We all have it. We all have it. You got to keep a lid on it. So let's pray and we'll take some prayer requests. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ, and thank you for some practical teaching that deals with matters of the heart. And these things, boy, they ruin our lives. This stuff that we don't control and deal with, it just ruins our lives, ruins people's lives. And like you said, you are a quickening spirit trying to give people life. Get away from this darkness and corruption. Give them life. I pray we'd follow you. Follow you in this particular thing. And I pray you'd help us with it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.